Live from Seven Bridges Golf Club, this is the Grip It and Sip It live broadcast, presented by Yuengling Flight on ESPN Chicago, AM, FM HD, and the ESPN Chicago app.
Live at Seven Bridges, it's Grip It and Sip It, presented by Yuengling, along with Ivy Hall and American Sail, Tyler Aki, Shane Norling, with you until 6:30 today, leading you into White Sox and Astros, the red-hot White Sox, might I add, as well. This has probably been the best day we've had out at Grip It and Sip It. It feels like we get different branches of the plague every single year.
Yep.
On this day.
Last year was the cicadas.
Cicadas.
They were so loud you could hear them through the microphone.
The wildfire smoke the year before. The year before that, it was extreme heat. And, like, it's hot out here, but it's manageable with the wind. I packed 3 golf towels in my bag today. One for you, one for me, one for Jack. Because I thought today
was really kind of you.
I thought it was going to be a sweaty one today. And all of a sudden, I don't feel like any of us, I mean, if any of you need a towel, I've got one for you. But I feel like right now we're good to go. We've got a nice breeze coming through here at the Dock Bar and Grill. So,
are you a big sweater?
Huge.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I typically like an heat like this. Last year I went to a Cubs game, and it was probably 86, 87 degrees.
Okay.
And I had to keep going into shade and finding stuff to, like, wipe sweat off. I was like, at some point, I'm just going to have
to go home. You just got to wear it, yeah.
Like, no, literally go home. I'm like, I can't sit here and just drench
myself. What about tarps off?
No, man, no. I gotta get my running up a little more before I can tarps off comfortably.
Do you ever roll the sleeves up?
On the shirt?
On the shirt,
oh,
yeah.
Like the makeshift tank?
Yeah.
No, I don't
like
that.
I'm
not big on that.
You wouldn't do that?
Suns out, guns out mentality?
Well, maybe not guns out, but the suns are out and sleeves are up.
Yeah, suns and pale ass white.
You got
arms.
A nice little farmer's going there.
No kidding, man. I almost swore. Yeah, I do. I have a nice farmer's tan going because I don't roll the sleeves up.
Okay.
And I don't tarps off very often.
I remember one time last year when I came into work and Shay, you were
came
there.
Came in tarps
and
off?
No. I was wearing a polo and I had been wearing a backpack and it was one of those hot days. So you could kind of see the sweat through my back and I came in and I remember Shay said as I walked in, he said, "Hey man, I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything. I just wanted to let you know. You got a lot of sweat on your back today."
I said that?
Yeah, you said that to me. And I was like, oh. Thanks, Shay. I don't know what you want me to do about this now.
I'm never beating the bleep hole allegations. I mean, they just – it's unbelievable.
It keeps on rolling in. How long have you been at the station?
Last summer would have been like 7-8 months at that point.
So
I had known Shay. We
had known Shay. Okay. So it wasn't like – because you've been with us about 2 years then, right?
About two. It'll be about a year and a half, a bit more at this point.
Yep. Okay.
I'm also pretty unapologetic. Like, I probably would have said that when you were new. At least behind your back.
I'm not surprised. So, yeah, we've been having a good time out here. The weather's cooperating. Everything's been great out here. Everyone's going to be making the turn soon because I believe when we started Waddle's World, they had about 2-3 holes left. So we should start to see people filtering through here. We'll see how the rounds went and everything like that. And
yeah, we're going to check in with anybody on the air. I imagine Cap's going to come pick up a mic and scream at us.
Yes,
for
the that'll probably
dumbest
happen.
Bleeping thing he's ever heard.
We do need to continue our developing story on the show.
I wonder if the interns did their job. Caught up with Car Girl.
Because I'll say this: like, I don't know a single intern in our years of being here that's rolled in audio for our shows. So if there was a boots on the ground interview that took place out there about the allegations from Potsy that the cart girl was into him, and we got an exclusive one-on-one interview, then that would be high marks. Like, I don't know if there's, like, exit meetings or who does the exit meetings, but they would get a glowing review from us.
I would be impressed. I hope that they hold up. And if you missed it, first hour today on the podcast, ESPN Chicago app, I hope that they pulled up a headshot of Pottinger and took it to the cart girl, and I hope that she had no clue who he was. That's the way I hope.
That's yes. And to be honest, like, if we're forecasting, that's probably how it's going to go down. If we do end up getting this live report,
I'm like minus 1,000 odds. She's got no clue who he was.
All right. So the Cubs lost today 7-2. They dropped back-to-back series, which they've only done one other time this year. But it's been an awesome season for the Cubs. They are comfortably in first place, and even though they went 4-5 during this stretch, you look at the 5 losses, you went up against quality pitchers in each one of them, and then on top of that, you've actually gained a half game in the division over the course of that time. And to me, that's part of why I feel like, as a Cubs fan, and this is major knock on wood, but the division feels wrapped up. I know we're in early June, and I know the, what is it, a five-game advantage right now for the Cubs are in the standings at the moment. But to me, it does feel like this is wrapped up because we've seen what the heater looks like for St. Louis and Milwaukee. They've got two of the longest winning streaks of the season, 9-game and an 8-gamer for those two teams, and they still can't pick up ground on the Cubs, who their longest win streak this year is 4 games. But they're just consistently winning 4 of 5, 4 of 6. And if you do that over the course of the year, you're going to end up playing about 650 baseball. And that's going to be good enough for you to really make a run.
Yeah, even like they just basically never lose 2 in a row. Even when they lose, yep, they answer with a win the following day. Mm-hmm. And if you can keep yourself from having long losing streaks, then you're just going to win your division.
Yep.
That's a foregone conclusion.
But there is still work to be done. And it is going to be coming down to what does Jed do at the trade deadline. Jed Hoyer's got a lot on his plate, I think. And I'm kind of hoping it's just like one big move and then maybe some little ancillary moves, because that's really what I think this team needs. One big move, get one big fish, and then you fill things out with, okay, bullpen arm here, maybe like a back-end starter here. But it's not like you're really fishing for a bat, despite some of the calls that we've gotten earlier today. Like, to me, where are you putting a bat out there? You've got the best offense in baseball. Yeah. To me, you've got one of the best, if not the best, overall defense in baseball. I'm not looking for that type of addition. This is strictly an arms deadline for the Cubs. I think starter, and then you sprinkle in some relievers along the way. Now, who knows? It's a very weird trade deadline because we don't know exactly who's going to be available. And the guys that we thought would be marquee names that could be available this year haven't performed great. Some have picked it up recently, but if you were drawing out your Chicago Cubs trade deadline wish list for Jed Hoyer, what would be atop your list right now? Well, and I'm talking individual names. Let's get into the nitty-gritty here with the individual names.
We did the Chris Sale conversation.
Yes.
I'm going to leave that alone because the reality of it is still suspect. I don't know if Atlanta's actually going to move him. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this can realistically get done, if the Cubs will have the appetite to do what it takes to get him. So if you're leaving me with more realistic names, the Rangers, I think push comes to shove, they will be somewhat willing to sell, and I do like Tyler Mahle. I like what he's been able to do this year. You fit him in your rotation. He's a 2.5 ERA guy right now. He might not be that the rest of the season, but it's an arm that you know can eat some innings, could be a 3 ERA guy the rest of the season. You're pretty comfortable with that, and then it gives you another reliable, trustworthy arm to go to when the playoffs start. The whole lens for me is what gets me through a playoff series, because I'm pretty certain the Cubs will be there. It's just about winning it. And if you do end up not getting a top 2 seed and you have to play in a best of 3 wild card series, I don't care if you're hosting it or not, I need you to have at least capable starting pitching, reliable starting pitching, where I don't feel like you're outclassed on the mound in either of those first 2 games. You do not want a winner-take-all 3rd game in a wild card series. You don't.
Yeah. Because I don't know if this team's got the depth right now to do something like that.
Like Cade Horton taking the mound, or Jameson Taillon, or Matthew Boyd, or whoever it would be in a Game 3 winner-take-all, I don't trust any of those 3 names in that situation.
To me, I don't think he'd even be my number one off of Texas, Tyler Mahle. I think I'd rather have Nathan Eovaldi, guy who's been a dog in the playoffs, guy who has come up in big moments time and time again, and he's pitching well. Now, the question is, can you pry him from Texas because he's got the no trade? Is that going to be something that you can get done? Is it enticing enough for Nathan Eovaldi, who just signed in the offseason, to leave a contract that he just signed up for the next couple of years?
It's why I don't look at it as realistically, because he's got, what, 2 years left
after this? Yes.
And I think the price goes up. Eovaldi's more proven arm. He's finished near the top in Cy Young voting, I think, when he was with the Red Sox. Huge home run limiter. Which helps you, certainly with Fangraphs, where it's all they care about for pitching is do you limit home runs. he'd be an awesome piece to add, but I think he's a more expensive piece, and I think he's less likely to move because he just signed. He's got 2 years left, and he's got a no trade.
But I'm willing to get expensive this year. And like, there's select guys that I'm willing to get expensive for, but he would certainly be one of them. Now, I'm not saying I'm throwing in a Cade Horton into that trade, but like, your top guys, you're talking about your Kevin Alcantaras, you're talking about your Moises Ballesteros. Those are the guys I'm willing to part ways with if you are acquiring this elite-level arm. And I think the same can be said for Sandy Alcantara, too, because that's a guy you're going to get this year plus 2 more years of relatively cheap control. You've got next year at $19 million, and then you've got a club option for $21 million the year after that. So you've got a guy who's won a Cy Young before. I get it hasn't looked great this year, but it's looked good the last two starts. 6 shutout yesterday with 6 strikeouts. I'll take that, albeit it is going up against a Pirates lineup, so you have to factor some of that in.
Well,
but
at least there's pedigree with Alcantara's arm. Mm-hmm. He's won a Cy Young. He's been unhittable. And it was a rocky start to this season, but you can sell yourself a little. Bring him here, rehab him, get him with a capable pitching staff, a good pitching coach, see if you can get him back to form. He doesn't even have to be the Cy Young guy that he was, but can you get him better than, what was he at, like a 7 ERA?
Well, I think something that I look at, too, is look at the wonders they've performed on some of these pitchers, right? Drew Pomeranz, another scoreless inning for him this year.
Yep,
like, the guy still has not allowed a run. Chris Flexen's been great. Brad Keller, Caleb Thielbar. I mean, you're talking about guys who were starting pitchers in this league, and I get that you're building them into the bullpen, but if you can do that with that those guys, what could you do with a guy who's got the talent that Sandy Alcantara's got?
And especially if you start to feel like maybe Tommy Ottavie's just got some juice as a pitching coach, mm-hmm. that he's one of these guys – like an Ethan Katz, even, who can develop pitchers at a high level, then you feel like you can save Alcantara. What I'm not interested in is some of the mid names that have been floated. Like Jim Bowden did a piece in The Athletic mm-hmm. and was floating Kyle Freeland.
That's not going to get it done.
No. Nope. If Kyle Freeland is your piece at the trade deadline, just fold it up. Mm-hmm. That would be borderline disgusting to me.
That would be
not good.
That would be something where I would look at, because listen, Jed's contract is up, and we heard Jesse on with Waddle and Sylvie, I think it was a week ago, say I wouldn't be surprised like All-Star break or trade deadline if Jed Hoyer gets his contract extended then, because to be honest, like trade deadline, the work is done. At that point, the player's got to perform on the field. If they came out of the trade deadline with just Kyle Freeland and maybe like a bullpen arm, I would be woefully disappointed with that. I mean, that would be the absolute sucker punch of all sucker punches, because this team is trending wins-wise. I mean, they're at like almost a 95, 97 clip right now in terms of wins that they're pacing for. Like, this team could be one of the best regular season teams that we see in baseball this year. And if you're going to get limp arm with me at the deadline, screw that. Like, Then you have to show me that everything else works out, because I don't think I could really extend your contract after the trade deadline if that's what you get.
I need a front end starter. Mm-hmm. If it's a two, it's a two. But the reality is, I need Jed Hoyer to accept your ace died in April mm-hmm. for 2025 purposes. Gone, poof. Mm-hmm. You got to replace it.
Yep.
You have a team that could win the World Series. And there are names that you could pry. Miami's a team you've talked to. If it's Alcantara, if it's Edward Cabrera, God willing, can you pry Ryan Weathers? I'd be stunned by it, and you talk about expensive.
But that's a name I would be interested in. If we're going to talk a little Cade Horton swap, that's a name that I could be talked into.
I think that one would cost you probably Cade Horton, which is almost a one-for-one kind of flip, but yeah. Weathers is doing it right now. Mm-hmm. He's got 3 arb years left. It's going to be wildly expensive if you want to make a move for him. You're talking about a guy, I think it was the 7th pick in the draft?
Believe so.
It would be wildly expensive.
I think there's a floundering teams, especially in the NL, of floundering teams. And I'm not saying that all of these guys are on the market, because I don't think they are. But like, it's like Weathers, Chris Sale, and then the third one that I would trade for if he were somehow to be made available in a very, very expensive package that I would be willing to include Cade Horton for would be Mackenzie Gore. I don't think Mackenzie Gore becomes available, but if for some reason Washington saw this as a tantalizing option, I could get behind it.
Not that we're doing radio in D.C., but could you imagine if they traded Mackenzie Gore? Like, I look at the Nationals right now as a team that's going to be really good.
In give it 2-3 years.
Maybe even less. They've just – James Wood has hit.
Mm-hmm.
They've
CJ
got
Abrams.
Prospects that are hitting. They have absolutely won the Juan Soto game.
Yeah.
And Mackenzie Gore's starting to pitch so well, I'd write that name off. Washington feels
again,
a little too much like they're on the rise.
I wouldn't even call it a pipe dream. I'm just saying, like, theoretically, of the floundering teams in the NL right now.
Who's more available, Ryan Weathers or Chris Sale?
I would guess it is Sale. But not by much.
If it's not by much, then I make the move for Ryan Weathers, and I add more because I have 3 years of control on him. He's young. He's shown at the major league level that he can be elite. He'll generate swing and miss. He's just awesome.
Cubs fans, who's on your trade deadline wish list? 312-332-3776. I do think with, like, if we're going to bet on upside here, all right, if you had to bet on the upside of Zach Gallen or Sandy Alcantara, guys who have pedigree but have really struggled this season, who are you going with? I'd bet on Sandy, I feel like. Because, like, that is a guy who's been Cy Young. And then he's starting to trend back up this way, too. And he's coming off of the injury as well. Like, it feels like maybe he just needed a little bit of a more advanced runway, and all of a sudden you could have something. Like, I would, if I'm trading, like, equal packages, if I'm getting Gallen or Sandy Alcantara, I'm going Sandy.
Yeah, I definitely trust Sandy more to bounce back. Because Zach Gallen has just been a guy, aside from a couple years ago when he almost won the Cy Young. Mm-hmm. And even then, I remember talking about it. Like, is Zach Gallen really going to win a Cy Young?
Yeah.
Since then, and this year, has been a real struggle. But I think with Sandy, I'd almost want to see a couple more starts like the last two. The last 12 innings, 2 earned runs. He's brought his ERA down a full run, over a full run. But it was up at 8.47.
Yeah.
And, like, I need to see a couple more starts like last night and, like, the start prior.
Is there anything to it that his last two starts are Pittsburgh and Colorado?
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of want to see you go against a competent offense and look good. I can't get the guy who's given up 5 runs to the Angels or 4 to the Rays, 4 to the White Sox, 5-7 to the Dodgers. Now, granted, I think that's a tough spot. You pitch against the Dodgers twice in 7 days, mm-hmm. you're probably going to get beat up.
Yeah.
But I want to see a little more consistency before I start shipping pieces for Sandy Alcantara.
And I don't think it's going to cost you – it'll cost you a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be like a overhaul of the farm system type of trade. But and listen, there was a trade in place in the offseason, according to some reporting, for Jesus Luzardo, who went up against the Cubs today, ultimately gets shipped to Philly, and it fell through because of the physical that Luzardo presented. And it feels like that's one that where the Cubs and Marlins, they could put this thing together pretty quickly. So
there's familiar.
And whether it's for Alcantara or whether it's for Edward Cabrera, one of the two, it feels like, all right, we at least know who we like. I think Owen Casey's probably one of the fundamental pieces of that. But we at least know who we like on each other's teams and how we can get a deal done. I could see that one being put together real quick. I could also see it being, listen, we're going to try for this guy and this guy and this guy, and if all of those fall through, we know we can, boom, boom, put together a deal pretty quickly with the Marlins. So maybe Alcantara or Edward Cabrera are one of those trades that gets made like right at the horn.
Ryan Weathers would be the more difficult one to put together.
For sure. That's one that you're starting from scratch with.
If you're here's the other thing. If you're calling up, like if there's any seriousness to the Chris Sale rumors that Atlanta could sell him and Jed wants to get on the phone and see what it would take and they say it's going to cost Cade Horton and you get on the phone with Miami and you're looking at what it's going to take to get Ryan Weathers and they say it's going to cost Cade Horton, don't you at least have to do due diligence, call Pittsburgh and say, we have Cade Horton, Owen Casey, Kevin Alcantara, whoever else you want available, give us Skeens. Like, before you pull the trigger on a Sale or a Ryan Weathers deal, don't you at least have to call Pittsburgh and force them to say no?
Make them hang up the phone. They're not even saying no. They're just hanging up the phone. Like, the thought of Skeens, and he's going
to
pitch against the Cubs on Friday afternoon, too, against
Cade
Horton. I'd
like to go to that game, man.
Yeah. That's going to be, I mean, it's not going to happen now, but we all see the writing on the wall, right? it's going to happen with Paul Skeens at some point, and that's the unfortunate nature of where some of these lower market baseball teams are. And I'm sure it pisses Pirates fans off because you see the reports from Nightingale that, like, you open the books, the Pirates are one of the most profitable teams in all of baseball because they don't spend on payroll.
Yep. I wonder if there's a little bit, too, with Cubs fans, like our first hour talking about, would you give up Cade Horton to get Chris Sale and chase a World Series? Is there a part of you that holds off on going all in that way this year? Maybe because you believe you get Kyle Tucker back, but also because there's a feeling like next year could be the year the Pirates move Skeens.
You save the farm?
Save your farm for next year when you could chase Paul Skeens.
But would that be the year they would do it? I feel like they'd still have like another...
Realistically, it's probably 2 years away.
Maybe even... But at the same time,
do we start talking about this like we did with the White Sox and Garrett Crochet? Where, yes, you do have term. You have the control over the player. But the longer you take to finally make the decision and make the move, the less your return is going to be.
Because of the contract situation is?
Yeah.
No, I could see that. I just don't, like, it frustrates me with baseball because we see it so often. They've done it before in Pittsburgh. That's exactly what happened with Garrett Cole. And if those fans have to go through that again with Paul Skeens, that's a slap in the face. An absolute slap in the face. But that, I mean we're obviously talking pie in the sky, but...
It's also an organization that does not care about their fans.
No.
They took the fans' bricks out of the building and threw them in a landfill. And then they took the Clemente thing off right field.
Yeah.
Like, they don't care.
No.
The ownership there doesn't care. They aren't interested in winning. They're interested in having no payroll and turning a profit.
It is one of the most tone-deaf organizations in all of sports. So who's on your Cubs wish list? 312-332-3776. Shea's going Tyler Molly. I'm going Sandy Alcantara. Though it's pitching. If you're offering anything besides pitching, I think you're wasting your time.
Yeah, don't be Chase on the south side. Call up here saying you need a bat. Because for the life of me, where are you putting anybody in the field?
No, I don't get it.
Not replacing Say at DH. I'm not replacing Happ in left field. Shaw has shown more than enough. I don't need to sell pieces to get a third baseman. You're not putting anybody in the field.
Jack's in Wrigleyville. What's going on, Jack?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, you're 1,000% right. It's got to be pitching. It's not a bat. This team doesn't need a bat. Number one in run scoring, we all know that. I think first and foremost, though, you have to extend Kyle Tucker if you're going to do anything. You can't move Cassie. You can't move Alcantara unless you have that position locked up for the future. Lock him up, extend him, then move Alcantara, Cassie, and go after Chris Bubich maybe. I know he's a Cy Young candidate right now, and he is one of the best in the game, but one-year rental deal, go get the best in the game, and then maybe lock up a reunion with the Aroldis Chapman. I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Yeah, listen, Chris Bubich, that feels like Kansas City looks like they're at least trying to win a little bit. Like, you got serious when you handed out the Bobby Witt contract. Now you've got one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Something that we've talked about, because they also have Cole Ragans,
mm-hmm.
and something we've talked about, could teams buy and sell at the same time this season?
Yeah, and they're like kind of in that in-between.
Dude, they're so far back in the division. We talk about the NL Central being wrapped up. The AL Central is wrapped up. You're going to have to, if you're one of these teams that's far back in the AL Central, consider moving on from guys that have the rest of the season left and then free agency, and also acquiring talent. And I know it's tough to look at Kansas City and go, well, you just paid Bobby Witt and you just called up Jack Caglione. You're also going to trade Chris Bubich. But if you're not going to pay Chris Bubich, then it does make sense to sell that piece and reload for a little bit down the road.
Now, they are only 1.5 out of the wild card. So
the AL wild card is going to be crazy.
Right. Like, I mean, you look at the bunch up you've got right now. You've got, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams within 3.5 games of that final wild card spot. Like, 3.5, you only go 2 deep in the NL. So I think the AL is kind of what's going to be this logjam. You need to see the AL start to disperse a little bit. And the funniest thing is that the furthest away teams in that 6-team cluster are the only 2 of the 6 that have positive run differentials,
yep.
which is probably one of the better indicators of how good your team really is. So
Yeah, I now I'm looking at it too. With Cleveland and Minnesota being directly in front of Kansas City, they at least feel like they control their own destiny.
Yeah,
in terms
you're
going
to play enough games with those teams.
It'd be tough to get them to move on from Bubic.
I do think, though, like when you're looking at teams that are going to do the bit of, oh, we're going to buy, we're going to sell, like the dueling philosophy at the deadline, which the Cubs were a part of last year. You flip Leiter, you get Isak Paredes. If you do that, I feel like you usually end up selling relief pitching, and you acquire bats, like kind of what the Cubs did last year.
Sure.
I feel like that was probably more, or you look for, because if you're selling, you're not selling starting pitching, because if you're selling the starting pitching, then you're really putting yourself as a deficit once out of every 5 days, and then when you get to the playoffs, like, what do you have? Whereas, like, relievers can pop at any given point in the season. Just look at the Cubs, right? This was a dog water unit for all of April, and then all of a sudden we get to May and June, and it's one of the best in baseball.
Over the past 2 months,
and guess what?
The best ERA.
The cast hasn't changed all that much. I get that there's been little additions here and there, but it's like Drew Pomeranz being I wouldn't even call it a turn back the clock season. This is the best Drew Pomeranz has ever looked.
He's never been this good.
So. Yeah, no, it's certainly going to be an interesting trade deadline, but you it's got to be pitching for the Chicago Cubs once we get there. So, when we come back, we will get to the A list. Who's got the A list today? Jack McGrath.
Oh, I thought it was the C list. We're getting the M list.
No, we're jacking around today. That's next.
Live from Seven Bridges Golf Club. This is a live broadcast at the 5th Annual Grip It and Sip It Classic on ESPN Chicago. Presented by Yuengling Flight. It's time for Aki's A-List. From the mind of the man who understands the four P's of Waddle's world. Aki's A-List. A-List. The top questions and topics floating around in Tyler Aki's mind.
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Aki's A-List on ESPN Chicago.
Live from Grip It and Sip It, presented by Yuengling, along with Swanee's, Ankin Law, and Great Clips. It's time for Aki's A-List. Today with Jack McGrath. So we've got...
What did you say we were doing?
We are either jacking around or McGrathing off.
McGrathing off is what
All
I'm
right.
going with.
And it's brought to you by Mr. Finance. Build wealth
Look at
through
Jack, Jack got a little nervous. Did you see his face?
By visiting MrFinance.com.
All right.
That's a wonderful promo.
So in NBA news, we'll start off here.
To the association.
To the association. The New York Knicks don't seem to really have a plan after firing Tom Thibodeau. They've asked about Jason Kidd and have been denied by the Mavericks to interview him. They've asked around to multiple teams and asked to interview their coaches and been denied at every single stop. My question for you guys, if you're the Chicago Bulls and you have Billy Donovan for this year, who's generally a respected coach around the NBA, would you maybe inquire about trading Billy Donovan to the New York Knicks?
Absolutely. Now, I don't know how much the Knicks have to offer me if I'm the Chicago Bulls. You look at their future pick situation, and it is a little bit bleak. It doesn't help that the NBA, with the Stepien rule and all that, makes things difficult as well to trade future picks, and especially for the Knicks who, what, they trade 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges, right? Like, that, to me, makes it seem like it's going to be tough to make one of these moves, because you look at – it depends on the coach you're going for, but I guess oftentimes in the NBA, I think it's happened 10 times, but I'd be looking for a first-round pick if I'm the Bulls. And
they
if
can
I'm
swap
giving,
it, right?
You could pick swap, but
– I'm going to attach a first-round pick to Billy Donovan, likely be worse than the Knicks, and get one of their firsts back. Yeah, I think I'm good.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously you're only doing the swap if it doesn't help you. If it helps you, get you the better pick. But, yeah, to me, like, I just don't know. Like, the Knicks clearly fumbled this. They have no plan. When you're going into a coaching search, you can't be banking on teams letting you interview their current head coaches. They've been turned down by what now, 3 teams
mm-hmm.
in their quest to find their next head coach? Like...
Well, I'm sorry. Why does Jason Kidd want to leave Cooper Flagg gift-wrapped to go and deal with, like, the city wants Karl Anthony Towns on a raft out of there.
Mm-hmm.
They want him on the Hudson River floating out to the ocean. And that, why would Kidd give up the gift wrap of Cooper Flagg for that?
I mean, and the pressure that comes with going to New York as well. Everything about it, it's not, I don't see it happening. I wish the Knicks had a little more draft ammo to send your way, because if they did, you could talk me into it. I'm not in the business of shipping out Billy Donovan for a second rounder.
Neither
am
I.
Or multiple second rounders.
And it's not even that I'm married to Billy Donovan. Like, I probably love him a little less than most people in the NBA. And I'm sorry. I don't think that the Bulls have overperformed to an extent that we just start praising Billy Donovan for what he's done. I'd be fine with moving on. But I'm not flipping him to New York for a second round pick, like a lottery ticket player. I don't need to do that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Hoodie and Sylvie were discussing this earlier today, but I think the question was a good one. It was, other than Caleb Williams this season, who on the Bears has the most pressure heading into next year?
Can I say DeAndre Swift?
I think that's a fair answer.
I was thinking DeAndre Swift. I've got a name that's kind of like in a similar vein there.
I can give you my answer. My answer is Cole Kmet.
I was going to go
Cole
Kmet.
Kmet has a possible out in his contract next season. They
got
drafted
out right now.
Yeah, they drafted a potential replacement for him in Colston Loveland. They brought up DJ Moore as somebody with a lot of pressure, and I think Tyreek Stevenson's up there too.
Yeah, all those guys, I think, they're definitely in the pressure cooker right now. I would probably go Cole Kmet just because your replacement has been selected.
But that's why I almost think pressure's off. You're playing for your next deal, it ain't going to be here. Like, I kind of think the future's written for Kmet. I don't see a world where he plays his way into staying on this team long term. So it is what it is.
I mean, but you do have a creative offensive. If Kmet plays well this year, you could look at it as Ben Johnson just acquired another toy. And, all right, we're going to be just 12 personnel demons moving forward. Can we turn this into sure. Gronk and Aaron Hernandez? Like, there are very successful two tight end sets out there, and if you've got two weapons, you may have something.
I'm looking more at a guy like DeAndre Swift. Tyreek Stevenson's a good pull. But for me, DeAndre Swift, if you don't perform, and obviously you're with an offensive coordinator who didn't care to give you the ball the last time you were together. Like, when Ben Johnson was running the offense in 2022, it was Justin Jackson getting carries ahead of DeAndre Swift in certain spots, to the point that it was inexplicable. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody knows who Justin Jackson is. At least Jamal Williams was scoring. They were
Justin
giving Jack, the ball.
We're in Northwestern country. People know Justin Jackson around here.
You get my point. Broad, nationally, yeah. You're giving the ball to a nobody over DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
If that happens again, you are now J.K. Dobbins.
Can I say this?
Where you're going to one-year deal your way through the league, if that.
Well, speaking of J.K. Dobbins, Dobbins signed yesterday with the Denver Broncos. How confident are you in the Bears running back room this year?
Not confident.
But I don't need to be confident in a running back room. Because a guy can pop whenever. Like, who's to say Kyle Manungai doesn't look like, and I know it's the easy pull, but like the other seventh-round Rutgers running back that was recently selected. Like Isaiah Pacheco, I know he was hurt last year, but he was great coming out of the blocks.
Well, my thing, too, is, and I talked about this with Pat the Designer on the Chicago Bears podcast this week, confidence in a running back room is hard to quantify for me. If I don't have Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry, then I'm never really going to be that confident. And I think people conflate having a good running back doesn't mean you have a good running game. And having a bad running back doesn't mean you have a bad running game. Hopefully the Bears have a good offensive line. If you get the tip of the spear going, you can make a good running game out of mediocre running backs. If you don't have a great offensive line, you can have good running back Travis Etienne, but Jacksonville's run game is atrocious.
Yeah.
So, the two things aren't necessarily married. I'm not confident that the running back room is great, that you have a difference-making back, but I'm reasonably confident you can find a way to a good running game.
Can we go back to the pressure question real quick? Because the... we've kind of talked about it in the lens of, oh, will this guy be on the team in 2026? Oh, boy, you just got some bad news, by the way.
Me?
Yeah, you.
What am I missing?
Jackson Job, Tommy John.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. That's all you got?
Well, I kind of figured it was coming. His velocity was down in his last start. They put him on the IL with a forearm thing. It was all trending that way.
All right. Anyway, to move the
fifth starter wasn't going to be the difference
in the season. But it's a guy you're excited about.
Sure.
to move the drill back to the pressure thing, we've kind of talked about things from the lens of guys who their roster spot may be in jeopardy in 2026 if they don't perform this year. Can I say, like, guy who's got a lot of pressure on them this year, Montez Sweat, because he has to start living up to the deal that he signed. And then on top of that, too, if Montez Sweat isn't good this year, that defensive line is going to be a real issue.
Yep.
If he is good this year, maybe he looks, maybe he helps make Odengbo look better than he is. Maybe he helps make the interior of that defensive line look better than it may be. Because that defensive line has a lot of work to prove this year. And the poster child of the whole unit is Montez Sweat. If he's not living up to his, what has he got, 125 mil that he signed for? If he's not living up to that, like, what are we doing?
Can I say Ryan Poles because he built the damn thing? He's the guy that went out and chose Grady Jarrett. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that went out and got Dio Odengbo. He's the guy that paid Montez Sweat. He's the guy that drafted Jervon Dexter and Zach Pickens. He's the guy that built this defensive line. And you're banking this season on acquisitions who were not top 60 in pressures a year ago. Mm-hmm. None of the guys on your team were top 40 in pressures a year ago.
It felt like they brought in bodies more so than, like, proven commodities.
If you end up losing eight games this season, and we can all look at it and go, well, they couldn't generate pressure, and the defensive line was too soft, and that's why they lost these games, it will be Ryan Poles' question to answer. It's not going to be Montez Sweat's. Like, at that point, we'll know what Montez Sweat is, and congrats, you can Yannick Ngakoue your way through the rest of your career. We'll know what Dio is. We'll know what Grady Jarrett is. He's old. Jervon Dexter, you'll just... he's a second-round pick. He's a fine player. He's not good enough to carry a D-line. That will be the reality, and it will be at Poles' feet.
For sure.
Let's move to the Cubs now. Ben Brown pitched again today, and he did not pitch very well versus the Phillies in the Cubs' 7-1 loss. He pitched 3 2/3 innings, giving up 6 earned runs. Porter Hodge is supposed to start his rehab assignment and should be back somewhat soon here, which means the Cubs are going to have to clear up a roster spot. Do you think Ben Brown stays on the major league roster, or is he somebody that could eventually get optioned back to AAA to clear up some space?
I don't think he goes back down to AAA. I think you look at scrapping someone like Robert Brazier or something like that before you're moving Ben Brown, because I think there's an easy move for Ben Brown, and it is bringing him back into the bullpen. Now, you are bringing back Porter Hodge, and you're not really creating like you still need your five guys in the starting rotation. You've got starting rotation injuries right now. Guys are going to come back. Shota's going to come back. Hopefully Assad comes back in the near-ish future. Like, you could bring guys back into the rotation, and that's when you start to maybe talk about Ben Brown. But I just think Ben Brown needs to be a bullpen arm until he develops a third pitch. And you're not going to develop a third pitch in season. I'm sorry. Like,
yeah,
especially with a contending team like the Cubs are right now, I'm not in the business of we need to work on player development. I'm in the business of we're only going to see playing time from the guys that give us the best chance to win baseball games. And by putting him in the pen, I think he can be a very effective bullpen arm. The problem is, you got to go into the off season with Ben Brown, and you got to go into spring training, and that's when that third pitch development comes in, and that's when you see him slot back into the rotation for next year.
And the other option too, you could tell Hennessy's Cabrera, thanks for filling in. Here's your walking papers.
Yeah,
like there are a ton of options that aren't Ben Brown. I think the fastball is too electric when it's on to just take him off the roster. And if you have an opportunity to put him in the bullpen, you get an electric fastball with a good breaking ball. You only have to work with one inning. You can put him in lower leverage spots. He still showed capability against the Tigers in that start and the start before.
That he's a strikeout guy.
High, like, leverage innings, and he can miss bats. That's good in the pen. But you're right on the third pitch. I mean, I keep hearing people talk about Ben Brown. He's working on developing this changeup. He throws it 3% of the time.
Yeah.
He does not have a third pitch, period. He's fastball, curveball. Let him be a one-inning guy who can come in and miss bats in a lower leverage situation, sixth, seventh inning, eat an inning for you, and then get into the meteor bullpen.
I mean, to be honest, I don't even need him in a lower leverage situation. He's got punch-out stuff. I mean, you're talking about among
sure.
in your rotation, he's or not even in your rotation, regardless of what inning you work, he's their best strikeout guy.
Yeah, and just the way the league is now, if you have a guy with a good fastball that misses bats, you're not finding ways to get him off the roster.
No.
I'm not finding a way to send him to Iowa. I'm finding a way to use him in spots where it puts him at an advantage.
And what's he sitting right now during games? About 96 on his fastball. Maybe he gets up to 97. All right, now you're telling me we only need one inning out of you. We only need 10 to 15 pitches out of you. Pump that thing up to 99,
because
100.
The first inning stuff is interesting, why he struggled so much in first innings. But I think what's even worse, like, as he gets later into the start, you can kind of see people have seen all you got.
Yeah.
It always feels like he's a couple of bats away from erupting.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I'm more comfortable with that guy seeing three guys out of the bullpen than I am working him into a starter.
For sure.
NFL jersey sales end of year sales list is out. If you guys haven't seen this yet, do you want to?
I haven't.
I have seen it.
All right, Shay, want to give a crack at who the top five jersey sales are?
I've only seen number one.
So this is for the previous season.
So this is year end. So I believe it was from March 2024 to February 2025.
Saquon Barkley.
Correct.
He's
number one.
Yeah.
You
always got to think fantasy, guys. Well.
Is Caleb on there?
Caleb is 13.
Okay.
Okay. What about Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts is number three.
Jaden Daniels?
Jaden Daniels. You guys are missing a big one here.
I mean, Mahomes.
Mahomes is number two.
Okay.
Still, man. People are still buying that
jersey.
Dude,
you think, like, that's what I never understand with the Brady jersey back in the day or with the Mahomes jersey. Like, what are you doing? Are you just growing out of them or what?
I know. Like, those ones I never guess because you think if you wanted one, you have
one. You have one.
They haven't changed teams.
They haven't changed numbers. The NFL doesn't really come out with new jerseys, really.
Was Jaden Daniels top five?
Jaden Daniels was number four.
Okay.
So we're missing one more.
One more.
What position?
Had a bad year last year.
Dak Prescott.
Good rookie season.
Oh.
C.J. Stroud
was number five.
Interesting.
Caleb Williams is the only Bear on the list at number 13. Jordan Love beat him at number 12. So Bears fans get that number up, I guess, because can't have a Packer being in jersey sales.
If he's good, that number will go up.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, if Caleb Williams is good, he'll be top five. Easy.
And that's the list. Nothing really else stood out at me other than a couple defensive players at the top. Aiden Hutchinson was number seven. Micah Parsons, number nine.
You know the Lions fans, like, now that you've got a good team, they're going to be shelling out for the apparel.
Well, yeah, and half of them are Michigan slaps, despite not going to school there. What? Did I say something wrong?
No. I appreciate the disdain.
What are you going to do? That's why they're buying the jersey. Oh, the hometown kid, he's on the Lions.
is that how
finished
people
top
are?
10 in the jersey sales. He played like three games. Broke his leg.
They bought him out like for the run.
Where,
like,
was Justin Fields on the list?
Justin Fields did not crack the top 50.
Damn, Steelers fans told me he was the future. Oh, well.
All right. we'll get to some of your Cubs calls and more when we come back. Also, we are live at Grip It and Sip It, presented by Yuengling, along with Swanee's, Ink and Law, and Great Clips. It seems like people are off the course. People are starting to filter on back. So we got to get a sense of what the winning score might be, see how the rounds went, all that and more. Coming up next, Tyler Rocky, Shay Norling. We're in for Waddle and Sylvie.
Live from Seven Bridges Golf Club, this is the Grip It and Sip It live broadcast. Presented by Yuengling Flight on ESPN Chicago. AM, FM HD, and the ESPN Chicago app.
We're getting barked at right now at Grip It and Sip It, presented by Yuengling with Ivy Hall, Zippo, and number 14 bourbon. Apparently,
Man Bun's got things to say.
We ruffled some feathers today.
We wanted the interns to do a little investigative reporting on Pottinger. He was making egregious claims about the cart girl, and they were the witnesses.
ESPN Chicago is supposed to be the greatest teaching classroom, all right? And we gave them a chance to learn something today. And now we're being reprimanded for it. Can you believe that?
Do you know how long Jack has to wait to be cleared to talk about?
God forbid somebody create a little content around here. We should have been playing Ben Johnson sound. My bad.
Oh, boy. Here he comes.
I wasn't going to say anything until he said, God forbid someone create content. You are hosting Afternoon Drive in the third largest market because I thought Shane Norling was competent enough to create content.
Yeah, we did.
Let's see who else is in the parking lot that could do your job today, Snorling.
Probably not many people.
I don't know. From what I heard, Vanessa was better than you.
I'll bet you could get somebody to sit down and play Ben Johnson audio for 15 minutes.
Listen, they were better than Eddie on the north side, all right?
That's a low bar. It's a low bar.
I'm just saying.
Jack.
I hear him once a day.
Listen, I trust Jack. Jack, what's your verdict? Were they good or was it a
mistake? Interns did a phenomenal job. They told a great story.
Was the segment
funny? They gave
good
information. Yeah, the segment was all right.
All right.
You are a bleeple. Yeah. You are not a good teammate.
Wow.
You were supposed to have
it
our
back. It
was
a good segment.
Jack all just right. tied us down on the train tracks
right
there.
I'm now going to give the microphone to a radio professional who could have done 4.5 hours by himself. Here you go, Chris Black.
It's good because a radio professional didn't have that microphone a second ago.
I love this.
I'll see myself out.
This is great.
I hope the audience enjoys the last time.
This is outstanding. I show up to say hello to my guys, and you guys are getting yelled at?
Yeah.
This is the best.
Well, we're getting reprimanded.
This is great.
All
right. What are you going to do? All we wanted to do was have a little fun. God forbid.
God forbid we have some fun.
God forbid.
What a day.
All right.
A great day.
When we come back.
Ben Johnson sound.
Yes. Nothing but Ben Johnson sound. No, we need to hear what happened on the course today. We're live at Grip It and Sip It, presented by Yuengling with Ivy Hall,
right.
Zippo, number 14 burp. You can leave if you want. We can call Abdallah out here.
I'll stay. You don't want that.
We'll hear from Chris Black. On everything that happened from the is he chippy?
Let's get
Abdallah. Maybe we want
here.
Him out
yeah,
here.
Yeah, if we have feisty Abdallah, let's get him out here.
Ask Danny what just happened in the parking lot.
And then he says he doesn't. I'm in the office the other day. All Abdallah's doing is whining. And I'm like, Jesus, there's a lot of complaining. Nobody's complaining.
I'm not mad. Don't let the internet know I'm mad. All right, we'll hear from Black and maybe a chippy Abdallah when we come back.